This episode will contain spoilers.
Hi, I'm Jeff Goldblum. Interesting, complicated, you know, character.
Hello, Aries. Hey, it's Pop. I think I'm leaving a message on your machine. How are you, kid? Calling to see if you're around and see if you're, I don't know, still mad at me? Anyway, I need some help. Did you by any chance happen to catch that debacle in Heraklion with the monument the other day? Did it hurt your feelings? It sure did mine. Okay. Bye. Well, interesting. Okay. Ring, ring, ring. Wow, nobody fucking home? What is this? Hi, Athena. Hey, it's Pop-Pop. Do you want to do some work? Some myth-making?
Hello?
Hello? Apollo, it's Dad. Hello, Aphrodite. It's Daddy Artemis. This is Papooza. Are they fucking there? Are they listening to these messages? You know, the Papooza?
Hermes, pick up the phone.
Your fucking family.
Could someone please call Jeff Goldblum back? I mean, come on. When a zaddy calls, you pick up the phone. Welcome to Love You, Jeff. This is Leslie DJ, and we just heard a clip from episode 2 of Chaos, where Zeus is trying to reach his children because, of course, he's worried about the desecration of his monument. That comes into play a little later on. But this episode was chock full of entertainment.
This has everything.
I'm talking about three-headed dogs, the underworld, you get to meet Hades, and also we meet Medusa, which is pretty cool, played by Davy Mazar. This episode really had it all. We kick off this episode with the murder of a young man who, according to his assassins, had disobeyed the god. And in return, he is sent to the underworld, where he is shepherding his beloved three-headed dog. We will soon learn that he's very integral in the plot to take Zeus down.
Caeneus died 10 years ago. You saw how. Like Riddhi, he is completely unaware of his cosmic significance.
Good boy.
He woke up thinking that today would be just like every other in the underworld. That, as usual, he would focus solely on the past.
So Riddhi is among the passengers on the underworld River Styx, where the whole purpose is to go towards the frame. And this frame is a happy renewal. So basically, that's where you go in and you get a new life. So it's like a rebirth to the frame. In the underworld, everything is black and white. It's the end. It's the other side. And then when we look at the living, or you look at Zeus or the other gods, you see these bright colors. And it just gave me like that Pleasantville vibe, that movie with Reese Witherspoon. I love it so much. I think the contrast is great because in black and white, you see the despair a little bit more. It accentuates it. So I thought it was a really cool stylistic choice. So back on Earth, Riddhi's widower, Orpheus, who's also a rock star, is on a joyride with Dionysus. So Dionysus is obsessed with this idea of having Orpheus reunite with Riddhi. That would give him some sense of purpose. He is trying to help Orpheus reunite with Riddhi before she makes it past the frame to be designated a new life. So if she goes past the frame, there's no coming back.
Now hold it right there.
Yep.
I don't know how familiar you are with Greek mythology, but for the most part, I think that people know that Zeus was a very, giving man, to say the least. He fathered many, many children, many half-gods. And so on this show, expect no difference. So as we heard at the opening of the episode, Zeus's kids are not calling him back. He decides to go on Earth, you know, blend in with the mortals and impregnate a woman and create another half-god. And we see this insane sex scene just jumping up and down on, and my God, I love Jeff so much, but I don't want to see that because my love for him is a lot purer than that. But anyways, he's so hot though. I'm really conflicted. Like I say not to think of him that way, and then I do, and then I'm, guys, it's all good. So next thing you know, this woman that Suze was just hooking up with is pregnant. And because he's a god, the pregnancy advances quickly. But then there's a knock on her door, and when she opens it, it's Zeus, the real Zeus.
No. No.
Hello.
Who are you?
I'm his wife, little one. Now look, well done. I mean, you are an extremely promising fuck. And you're very pretty. I mean, I absolutely see the appeal. But we agreed. No more kids.
Because in bed, it was Hera, Zeus's sister slash wife, who was pretending to be Zeus to stop her. She doesn't want any more half children. And so we see this woman embodied him completely. It was totally bonkers. And she makes it, it gets a little, ugh. She basically makes Zeus end the pregnancy. She does not want him to keep fathering children. And she does this interesting little thing with all of Zeus's lovers. She turns them into bees. She has a huge bee colony. So that just goes to tell you how much Zeus likes to get down and buggy. While on Earth, Zeus realizes that the humans don't have it that bad. They seem to be walking around carefree and happy. And he wants them fearful. He wants them loyal. He wants a reign of chaos because he needs everyone to be fearful and faithful to him and all the gods. Meanwhile, in the underworld, Rydia is transported to another place by train. Transported to a place in the underworld where people who are buried without their coins do not get access to the new life portal. So basically, Rydia has just been informed that her husband did not provide the gold coin that goes into the mouth of those who pass, assuring them a token into the frame to start a new life. And so, since she was buried without one, she has to be transported to another place where she is basically in purgatory for like 200 years.
Yeah, you're probably wondering why you're here.
Why are we?
Well, you've all been buried or cremated without coins. It means that you can't go through the frame and renew.
Fuck you, Jerry!
Who's Jerry?
My sister.
The important thing is not to feel shame. Just take your time to come to terms with what's happened. You got plenty of time now.
Sorry, excuse me. I think there's been a mistake.
No, there has.
Well, yes, there has. My husband was my coin bearer.
So?
So he would never bury me without one? He would never do that. Mm. No offense. I'm just trying to tell you that I think that there's been a mistake.
There are no mistakes, not here.
We are then introduced to the cave. This dive bar, and it also kind of reminded me of P3 from Charmed. And it's a place where mourners go to attempt to win a chance to have their loved ones return to them. They have to compete, without words, demonstrate why their loved ones should be returned to them.
Fuck! Oh!
Please tell them what you did, Orpheus.
Tell the truth, Orpheus. We can't help you if you don't tell the truth.
I...
Yes, good start.
What has he got in his pocket? What has he got in his pocket?
What is this? What is...
The wife's coin.
Shame on you.
Because I love her. Because I needed her to stay so I could go and find her so we could be together. We're gonna have a family. I was never gonna leave her there.
And so it turns out that Viddy's husband actually removed her gold coin. And therefore, the judges are aware of it. He must be punished for his actions.
My husband took my coin. Can't even let me die without him. Unbelievable, right?
If it makes you feel any better, I think my mom took mine.
It doesn't. I'm sorry. 200 years, right? That's what they said?
Yeah. It gets better. I promise.
Little does Riddy know,
She is exactly where she needs to be and has met exactly who she needs to meet.
Dionysus, still hell-bent on defying his father and finding his purpose, and goes up to the council people, leaders of the cave, to ask what he could do in exchange to the underworld to grab Riddhi and bring her back to life. And then it is revealed that it will cost him greatly.
What I want from you is
your voice.
Just kidding. The price is the gold watch, Suze's gold watch, in exchange for an opportunity to try to grab Riddhi from the underworld.
No, it's not mine. It's not special. It's just a what?
Then what's the problem?
Now, they're warned that no one has been able to return, so we shall see if his voyage will be successful.
What do you think of it so far?
The episode ends with Zeus plotting away something that would disturb the human race. He really wants to give it to them.
I know what I'm doing. I got a two-phase plan. Phase one, natural disasters. Ooh, that's going to get folks down there real respectful, real quick. Phase two. And this is a tip of the hat to you, old bean. Stories. Thank you. Stories are the best. I tell them stories to get them to hate each other, Trojan War style. Oh, yeah, I wheedle my way into their tender and bouncy little hearts, turn them inky black. If woven correctly, pretty soon one asshole is tempted to steal another asshole's wife. Then by and by, somebody burns up his kid and hopes for a favorable wind. And then it's just a hop, skip, and a jump to a 10-year conflict, which they think that they want. And what have I done? It needs to be like that all over the world, all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's your watch?
Huh? I don't know. I can't find it.
Huh. Okay.
Okay, wait a minute. What do you mean by that? You mean something by that. You're thinking something.
No, it's nothing. I'm sorry. Come on, the phases.
Uh-huh.
What?
Yeah, right.
As the episode ends and he plots away, we start to see that there may be a little wrinkle or a little hiccup in his master plan.
I think we've come to the end.
What's my final score?
Out of a possible 5 out of 5 gold goons, I give episode 2 of Chaos, conservatively, 3.9 gold goons. And I say this, we are still getting to learn the characters, and also it's becoming even richer, this world. The more you get to meet these people, the more you find out, the more evil Jeff Goldblum seems, and he's just so good at playing bad. I am still, you know, I'm waiting for it. It's coming. I sense there's something big is coming, so that's why I don't want to, like, just give everything 5 Goldblums, because in my heart, everything is perfection. Episode 2 of Chaos, we give 3.9 Goldblums out of 5. And as always, love you, Jeff.